Welcome to Shalom Ottawa. You are dialed into the show that keeps you in the know about the personalities and events across Ottawa's Jewish community, as well as with our extended family in Israel. My name is Les Combe, and as your host, I've got some fresh conversation for your head and your heart, stories you won't hear anywhere else. So keep your eyes on the road or your hands wrapped around a good cup of coffee or both. Sit back, relax, and join me in welcoming today's special guest, Yala.
Well, welcome, everyone. You know, in any community like Ottawa, there is a legion of volunteers who make the difference between surviving and thriving. It's not actually their job to step forward to coach soccer for kids, help families who need food, greet us at airports and hospitals, raise money for important causes. It's not their job, but they make it their job. Are they just busybodies? We don't think so. We believe these vigorous volunteers have a sense of community, of belonging, of wanting to help make things even better. It's that sense of community that gets them off the couch and onto the community playing field. We can find vigorous volunteers all over our Ottawa Jewish community. We'll meet just a few of them today. And here's our challenge question. How many of these vigorous volunteers do you know? So first off, it's our pleasure to welcome Joel Diener to Shalom Ottawa today. Joel's been one of the forces behind the terrific Biking for Bubbies charity drive that has raised a lot of money for Hillel Lodge over the years. It's also kept a few of us fit. Joel, good morning. Welcome to Shalom Ottawa. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning on this beautiful morning and a good day for Israel, we hope.
We hope. We always hope. So, Joel, Biking for Bubbies, for those who haven't yet heard of it, what's the idea behind it? How did it start? What's it all about? How does it work?
It began in 2009. A few of my friends started cycling, and we had actually done a fundraiser in Israel for the Elin Hospital. Mm. So we came back and we thought, why don't we do something like this here? So I was on the board of Hillel Lodge at the time and realizing we could come up with a fundraiser that would enhance the lives of the residents, you know, maybe raise a few dollars and go for a nice bike ride on a Sunday afternoon in September. So a few of us got together, including the late Seymour Mender. I believe Jeff Miller was president at the time and he okayed it. And I think we went ahead and started planning in May for a bike ride in September. Set up a 54-kilometer route through Elmer, Ottawa, all along the waterways, crossing the Ottawa River, the Rideau River, the canal. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we were much younger then. It seemed like a ride in the park rather than a stroll in the park. Mm. We asked our riders to raise a minimum of $2,000. And I think we had just over 30 riders. And it was a beautiful day, I remember, and we all met at the lodge, left around 8:30 or 9, came back, everyone in one piece, to a beautiful brunch with the residents, and at the end of it all, we had raised over $60,000.
Wow. Probably over $60,000, and that's, what, 15 or 16 years ago?
Yeah, so 2009, yeah.
2009, so that was real money then. That's a big number. That's very impressive for a first go. And then over the years,
it's grown. Mm-hmm. We added more riders, kept the 54 kilometers for a few years because we still had some legs under us. Each year we attracted more riders. The total kept growing. Then we raised $100,000.
Wow.
Kept growing. And it's thanks to our sponsors, because we would put out a T-shirt and sponsors would pay for space for the T-shirt.
Yes.
And our logo became famous and the name Biking for Bubbies, my wife
likes to take credit for that, but I think I came up with the name. But
we'll give it to her. And the name stuck, and it kept growing and growing, as did the total. And every year, people would say, see you next year. So it became a kind of an institution in the city where you knew in September, everyone would meet at Hillel Lodge after raising their money, and we'd go for a nice bike ride.
Yes, fantastic. Does sound like an institution. I had not realized that it all started when you and a number of others were in Israel and did a bike ride there for a cause and then came back and said, why not here? That is something I did not realize. So Biking for Bubbies, it is a terrific name. Sounds like, you know, a little bit of domestic tug of war there as to who really originated it. It's a great name, but I have to ask you, what about the Zadies? Where are they in all of this?
Yes, there is pressure to put the Zadies on, and I support the addition of the Zadies. It's up to the board or the committee. It just Biking for Bubbies just had a nice ring. We weren't attempting to exclude any Zadies because I'm a Zadie, so I don't feel I should be excluded. It's just had a nice ring to it.
It has a great ring. But to be inclusive, you know, I'll toss out a suggestion. What about zip lining for Zadies? There's something for you to consider. I don't need the credit. No problem.
Are you a Zadie?
I am a Zadie.
Well, why don't you lead that fundraiser?
Okay, good point. Very well put. Very well put. So you've raised a lot of money over the years for a wonderful, wonderful cause, the Hillel Long-Term Care Center, something we all may need and want to be able to benefit from. As you look ahead, Joel, you and your fellow leaders of this now institution, as you look ahead, any thoughts when you look in your crystal ball, if you had a magic wand, anything in particular that you see happening or that you'd like to see happen?
We need new riders. It's the same old people. And now old, I mean old. We need young blood. We do have a family fun zone, which is attracting a lot of young families and kids. But again, it's a fundraiser as well. So we need young riders, young families being committed to raising the money.
I hear you. We need to pass the torch or share the torch. Family Fun Zone sounds great. Where can people keep an eye out, Joel, for announcements about Biking for Bubbies if they do want to get involved? Some of our younger set for whom 54 kilometers is a stroll in the park.
They can contact the Hillel Lodge Foundation.
Okay.
They have a very wonderful director who will keep everyone informed. Every year, the events in September, I can't recall the exact date, this coming September. Where are there announcements? The Federation will post announcements.
That's perfect. They're so directly at the Hillel Lodge, the Foundation, the Federation emails. That's great. So everyone who's listening, keep an eye out. Biking for Bubbies coming again this September. Give a consideration to getting involved. Get some fitness in, a fantastic cause. Bring your family, raise some money, and get a good workout at the same time. Joel Diener, thank you so much for joining us this morning and telling us about Biking for Bubbies. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
All right. Well, now on this volunteer day, we're now going to speak with the one and only Ken Wright. Ken, thank you for joining us at Shalom Ottawa. Welcome. And we understand that you're one of the unsung heroes of the ski trail along the Ottawa River, the one that used to be known as Sir John A. MacDonald that is now Kitchissippi. Is this rumor true? Are you one of the unsung heroes? What are you doing there?
I am someone who loves winter. And I love the idea of there being an urban winter trail where people who wouldn't ordinarily be able to get out up to the Gatineau Park can get out and at least try to enjoy winter. What I do is pretty much a lot of the prep work and closing up work for the trail. We get it ready for the winter and we take it down so the NCC will be happy with the state of the bike path area when spring comes.
Okay, so the prep work and the closing up work, it's kind of like the pre-op and the post-op. So let's talk about the prep work. What are some of the things? I imagine this is in the fall, maybe the late fall. You show up there. What do you have to do? What kinds of things?
Well, we have to, we're limited in what we can do before the NCC gives us the actual handoff of the trail. They have their safety issues concerning cyclists on the trail. But we do a lot of tree trimming, a lot of wood chipping and wood chip shoveling to fill in gaps and holes. And then ultimately, which is the perhaps the most important job, is building snow fences.
Okay, so in the tree trimming and the wood chipping, you've got to be using some toys there. Do they let you use the chainsaw?
Well, they don't let me use the chainsaw, but that's because there's a few guys who really know what they're doing. Chainsaw in the hands of a Jewish guy might not end well.
Right.
But there are other manual tools that are a bit safer to use, because there actually is a lot that goes into knowing how to use those machines properly.
Yes, no doubt. And I don't think in Torah studies that we covered that back in the day. All right, so you're doing the prep work, you're filling in the ruts on the bike path with these wood chips, getting everything nice and ready. What are some of the challenges that you've run into in, you know, the quirks, the surprises, the unexpected?
Well, the biggest surprise is the weather, for example, that we just had over the New Year's holiday, where almost all of the snow is gone. Interestingly, the only place where the snow really survived is where the snow fences are, because snow fences are literally devices that farm snow from the river. It's a vortex they create, which creates snow drifts, and that's where the snow survived.
I hadn't realized that about snow fences.
That is their entire purpose. It's hard to explain without a visual, but it creates turbulence in the air. The wind comes blowing off the river, and otherwise that wind would just scour the trail. Instead, with the snow fences, it creates snow drifts, which then can be pushed around by humans and then by the grooming machines.
Interesting. Well, I'm someone who loves the trail. I've used it, and listening to you, I now have a new respect for snow fences and the science that you're bringing here. It's even more convenient than going to the Gatineaus, which are already convenient. This is amazingly convenient. So I really appreciate it, and I'm sure many others do. What about some of the people that you work with? Is it a cross-section? Are they people kind of like yourself, or any personalities in there, Ken?
Oh, there are a lot of interesting personalities. I'm retired. A few are retired. Most are people who live in either the Westboro Beach, McKellar Park, or Champlain Park areas. And what I think is really interesting, and it ties into this podcast, is the guy he came up with the idea of the trail is a guy with a long connection to the Jewish community. His name is Dave Adams. He's the face of the trail. He's a guy whose kids went to the JCC, to the swimming programs, to the athletic programs. His two kids, he's not Jewish. Both kids went to Ganon Nursery School, and the family are still active members of the JCC, and I think there's a real connection there.
I did not know that. That's an amazing connection. Fascinating. Dave Adams. Okay. I will have to high five him next time I see him. Well, again, I'm someone who loves the trail. I enjoy the winter, the skiing. So thank you so much for everything you do. You're giving generously of your time to do this and extend the winter pleasure to others beyond your own. You know, in closing here, any tips, if people want to be on their best behavior when they're using the trail that you and your comrades have labored in fall through spring, really, with the cleanup. Any pro tips, good behavior on the trail, what would that look like? Or maybe things that people should not be doing?
Just get out there. This is not a trail for the purists. This is a trail for the masses. It's for people to get out, enjoy winter. It's great for people's mental health. It's just maybe the one rule that I can think of is to smile. Everyone's happy out there, even when the wind is howling. And one other thing, maybe if you're walking off the road or riding your bike off the road, just clean off a bit so there's a bit less slush on your tires or on your feet when you first get on the nice white snow. But otherwise, just get out there and spread the word.
I love it. Just get out there and spread the word. Well, on that uplifting note, and I'm smiling, Ken, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for all the work you do on the trail. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Les.
All right. Well, now it's our great pleasure to welcome our next vigorous volunteer, and I have the privilege of welcoming to Shalom, Ottawa, the one and only Nicole Dodek. Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Les. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's a delight to connect with you finally. I really appreciate you taking the time. So, Nicole, you're definitely one of the vigorous volunteers in our Ottawa Jewish community. And here's our Israel connection, which we do every podcast. We want to connect with Israel. And you, as a vigorous volunteer, you've spent more time in Israel than in Ottawa since October 7th over the last 14 months. That's a big commitment. Tell us, what motivated, what drove you to make this commitment?
So, Les, I grew up in the Jewish community of South Africa, a typical Jewish family, very Zionist, very all Zionist. I went to Jewish day school, spent a lot of time as a family. We spent a lot of time in Israel. And when I was 18, I immigrated to Israel and lived there for 10 years working and studying. And so Israel always has been and always is in my heart. As a family, my husband, son, and I also spend as much time as possible in Israel and even spent a Shabbaton in Israel, a sabbatical many years ago. So it was really natural for me to want to go to Israel right away and to do whatever I could do. I also had been in Israel during the Gulf War and Second Intifada volunteering in a hospital. So I knew I was okay volunteering. I could deal with volunteering in stressful situations.
Right. Very, very interesting. So that's a lifelong connection with Israel that's been with you to this moment. So looking at, let's say, I don't know, the last 12 months when, again, you've spent more time in Israel than in Ottawa, share with us maybe two of your most impactful volunteer work experience during the last 12 months.
So I would say it's not really during the last 12 months because I've been back in Ottawa for 4 months. I would say it was 12 months from October 11th, which is when I arrived in Israel. And what made it so impactful was really being there at the very beginning of the war, when there was no government or bodies who had, you know, nothing in place to deal with the situation. So the most impactful was, again, because it was at the beginning of the war, I was at the Lev Echad, One Heart, what's in Hebrew called a famal, and in English is a war room. It's basically a civil command center that gets set up in times of war crisis and offers support, in this case, offered support to hostage families, to families of soldiers, and to the tens of thousands of people coming at the beginning, because this was the beginning of the war from the south, who needed accommodation and food. We were also getting requests from soldiers for tents and for clothing. And so I was part of the group that was helping to coordinate this. And as I said, at the time, there was government was not taking responsibility as they needed
organized.
To. And organizations, as we see how they set up now, volunteers and organizations, I mean, everyone's organized and set up to deal with all the different requests. In the first 6 months of the war, it was certainly not like that. So the other most impactful, I think, was going up north. So this was, I don't remember the exact date, but a few months in, I think it was like maybe 6 months in, when the needs of the Civil Command Center were changing because the government was now taking care of things like accommodation and food. So the need was for agricultural help. So there were a lot of volunteer groups being allowed to go down south. But no one was allowed to go up north at this point because of too many missile attacks.
Right.
And so no formal groups were being allowed up, but I managed to get into a group that was getting army clearance to go up a few times a week, every week for a few months. And we would go and, you know, it was really us and maybe a few other Thai workers that had stayed on the farms picking. And it was really on the border was Matula and Kfar Yuval and Manara. So it was really impactful. It really made a difference to these farmers, not just to have hands to pick, but to have the support.
So I can get that because I've done some agricultural work in Israel over the last 12 months, a bunch of it. What kind of farm? What kind of crops were you picking?
So, of course, as the year goes on, they're different fruits. It started off with peaches and nectarines. Then it was lychees and pears. So,
this sounds very,
yeah,
very
I was impressed to see you did your own volunteering.
Yes, but I have to say, I'm envious. I didn't get lychees, peaches, nectarines. Yeah, I became an avocado guy, heavily into avocados. There were strawberries that I picked. My back still remembers and does not thank me for that. Cherry tomatoes. I had no idea how much time it takes to pick cherry tomatoes off these
absolutely
high vines in the greenhouses. Did some oranges, some grapefruits, but you know, I didn't get any lychees. So you have that some very, very exotic and delicious fruit that you helped pick. I'm confident that you got to take some back to your home base in Jerusalem when you headed back there. Well, that's fantastic. Look, clearly, you know, Israelis, all of us, but Israelis for sure have been under stress. But even under stress, Israelis can find, they can still find humor in everyday happenings. Do you have any funny stories to share with us or maybe memorable characters of the sort that we might not find in the Ottawa community?
Yeah, your question reminds me of my girlfriend and I went to volunteer on a farm milking cows, not manually, with a machine. And I remember at the end of picking, we were full of cow mess and we both looked at each other and we just burst out laughing. We said, we've got to laugh, otherwise you're going to cry. I think the funniest thing that happened, but not funny at the time, was while I was volunteering at the Civil Command Center, I was the contact for a small WhatsApp group of people, and a friend of mine innocently posted on a group called Secret Jerusalem that I was the contact for the Hamal, for the war room.
Whoa.
And you have to understand, Secret Jerusalem, I don't know if you're part of the group on Facebook, it's not secret. It's not only the other rest of Israel, but it's all over the world. And they're like 140,000 members on the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. So I was bombarded with messages, texts and phones like crazy of people all around the world wanting to volunteer. Anyway, I very quickly took myself off as contact person, but that was probably the craziest.
Yes, that would make me a little bit crazy for sure. Nicole, this is just wonderful to hear a little bit about your experiences volunteering in Israel. You're heading back there again soon, we understand. In closing, would you like to close with any message to our Ottawa Jewish community?
I'd love to, because people are always saying to me, oh, I wish I could come to Israel to volunteer. And as much as I encourage everyone to come to Israel when they can, I think I always say that the Jewish community in Ottawa, all around Canada, all around the world, really, are fighting a different war against anti-Semitism, a much harder war, and not a different war, but a different front of the war. And I think people need to give themselves recognition for the traumatic experience that they've gone through and are going through. And just to, you know, advise people to get help, mental help when they need it, if they need it. And to reach out to each other, you know, whether it's picking up the phone and phoning an Israeli in the Jewish community, one that you know or don't know, a fellow Jew, and just saying, you know, we got each other's backs, showing some support and reaching out where they can. You know, Federation's always a good source of how people can get involved and help, whether it's in the community or with our brothers and sisters in Israel. So just thanks and kudos to everyone in the community for doing, you know, what they can and dealing with what they have to deal with.
I love that message. You're saying take a breath and realize what many of us are going through, experiencing, and as you put it, reach out to someone in the community, connect. There's strength in numbers. We're all part of the same community. And your message makes a whole lot of sense. And so thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Nicole Dodek, thank you so much for taking time with us today and telling us about your experience as a vigorous volunteer. We loved it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Les. Take care.
Okay, so that conversation with Nicole Dodek brought us to Israel, our connection with Israel, which we always try to feature some way, somehow in our podcast. And, you know, once we're in Israel, we're going to do something special. We're going to give you a sneak preview. You, our listeners, are going to get a sneak preview about some Israeli volunteers. I can't play the whole episode. We don't have time for that today, and it deserves its own show anyway. But a sneak preview, so stay with us now. The organization in Israel is called Leket. It is a food rescue organization, and I'm willing to wager that quite a number of you have heard of Leket and maybe even volunteered yourselves for it. An amazing organization. The executive director is a guy called Joseph Gittler, who lives in Ra'anana. And here is a very special sneak preview. Down the road, the entire conversation will be featured in its own episode. But for now, have a listen.
On the other hand, for those of us not suffering, life just continued normally, right? And we've seen that. You know, during COVID, the difference between the haves and have-nots during COVID was quite stark.
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, we kept on, like many, going to weddings and bar mitzvahs and going out to eat and going to hotels and, you know, living, you know, a nice life here. And like anyone who's come to Israel, the land of Nilpimhani, commenting on the fabulous amounts of food left over at the end. And right, your smile, which no one sees here, you know, shows me, yeah, I've stayed at those hotels. I've seen it. I've been at affairs in Israel. I've seen it. And Israel is filled with charities feeding the poor. Mm-hmm. But it seemed, I didn't know this at the time, that what was missing, and that's, you know, you look at the success of Leket, and then you understand, yeah, of course it was missing. It was just really waiting for someone to do it. And that was someone who would say, okay, I'm not going to open another soup kitchen. I'm not going to open up another battered women's shelter or homeless shelter or after school club for kids. What I'm going to do is put my blinders on and just say, all this food that's going to waste, let me figure out the logistics of getting it. And then I'm going to give it, like food banks all over. I'm not familiar with Ottawa so much, but you have major food banks in Toronto and Montreal and New York and Philadelphia and Chicago and Los Angeles, you name it.
Right.
Every major city has food banks. It was so obvious that this just needed to be done. And to my shock, to this day, 21 years later, in a land of a million NGOs, this big piece, which is so commonplace in North America, was just missing. And so the minute I made that decision, okay, I'm going to try to get us off to the ground, it was an immediate success. Because as the chefs, the owners, because I started off with catering companies because I thought those would be easy to get to.
Okay.
Right away, they said to me, we've been waiting for something like this. Now, you could have said to them, well, why couldn't you just do this yourself?
So, how is that for you? Did you enjoy today's show? Drop us a line and tell us. Don't hold back on your feelings. It's not healthy. While you're at it, share your ideas for future guests and topics to keep the Ottawa and Israel stories flowing. And since you're a sharing person, let your friends know about Shalom Ottawa. Don't let them miss out. Of course, be sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. That way, you'll be the first to know when our next episode drops. Until the next time, Lehitraot and Shalom Ottawa.